called God's Way of Getting to the Marriage Altar. My intention is showing you God's method of getting to the wedding altar, getting married if you want to be married. Now, I had a men's breakfast yesterday. We had many men there, and a few guys were like saying, Pastor, you know, you're talking about getting to the marriage altar. I think maybe I'm called to be single. I said, really? And there were a few guys who said, you know, I'm married, and I'm thinking it's not working out so good. So I must be called to be married, not to be single. And I said, well, that may be the case if you don't want to have sex. And then they got all quiet on me like I was from Mars or something. Now, what my job is to teach you from the Bible. The Bible is God's instruction manual for victorious living. God wants you to win in life more than you want to win. And just like your car comes with an owner's manual, the Bible is God's owner's manual for mankind. When people say children don't come with an instruction manual, yes, they do. It's called the Bible. Life doesn't come with an instruction manual. Yes, it does. It's called the Bible. And so God has given us his word to live a superior life. God wants you to live a great life. And he's more interested in you winning than you are, because you're his product. Chevrolet, the manufacturers of Chevrolet, want Chevrolets to succeed more than you do, even if you own one. Why? Because their name's at stake. Their company's at stake. They've got more to lose than you do. Are you with me? So know this, that God is for you. So as we're talking about marriage and dating and raising kids, the Bible says over and over, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is destruction and death. In other words, what the Bible is saying, I know you think you know how to do it, but unless you use God's owner's manual to find out how he created it, how he made it to work, there's a good possibility you could do it wrong, thinking you're right. Are y'all with me? And so the Bible does talk about there are some people called to be single. Premarital sex is very dangerous because of the implications, because of the ramifications, because of the debris that it leaves behind. And so God has a way of getting to the marriage altar. Watch this. How many of you, even if you're married, even if your marriage isn't what it could be or what you want it to be, want to spend your life with someone, share your life with someone? You know, like Mary J. Blige said, share your life, your love. How many of y'all want to do that? Even if you're married, you want to share your life with somebody. Let me see. Raise it up real high. If you're married, if you're married and your hand isn't up, that's you're saying, I don't even want to spend my life with my spouse. Do y'all understand this? Come on. Am I speaking English today? People are looking at me like, all right, is the mic on? Let me see again. How many of y'all want to spend your life with someone? Let me see. Okay, put it up. Now put those down. How many of you say, no, I'm good. I want to live by myself. I don't want to be bothered with anyone. Put it up real high. Yes, let me see. Real high. I see some of y'all, and some of y'all young too. Let me tell you what happened. Somebody broke your heart or something, and you said, I'm through. One knucklehead doesn't make everybody a knucklehead. All right? But what you're saying when you're saying, I don't want to be bothered, is you're saying, I don't even have a desire for sex. And that may be the case. Paul said that's a gift if you have that. If you have that and have no desire for sex, and that means you're called to be single. You have no desire to be with another person. And the Bible gives instruction about that lifestyle. Are y'all with me? But for most people, because of the way we were designed, most people want to spend their life with someone else. Most people do. And marriage is very difficult. It's a high-risk decision. So are y'all with me? Because two people coming together to be one is very difficult. Well, God designed it. In fact, in Genesis, and I'm going a little bit long here, but when God pulled woman out of man, the first man was male and female. He had female in him. And we'll go through all that in the scriptures, but God pulled the female out of him. with his one rib, pulled it out, DNA, and pulled it out. But then he says, therefore, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In other words, there's this desire in most people to become one with someone else, because that's how mankind originally started. Are you with me? But that oneness in marriage is a great challenge in the culture we live in, and it's about virtually impossible if you don't do it God's way. In other words, you can put orange juice in the engine of your car if you want to, but it's not going to work right. You can do life however you want to, and God isn't mad at you how you do it. But if you want to succeed in life, it only makes sense to look at the owner's manual. God, and it's not just an owner's manual. It's a loving owner's manual. It's a God who is madly in love with you more than you're in love with you. Are you with me? And so that's the logic behind getting in the Bible and understanding it and understanding how to make relationships work right. God wrote it in this book and has appointed the fivefold ministry to help us understand it. And that's what we're on. So again, like I told the men, you can do whatever you want to. If you're happy, I'm tickled. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to win, if you've lived long enough, you'll find out in life that God knows more than you do. If you live long enough, if you fall enough times, if you ruin enough lives, if you make enough mistakes in life, go through enough divorces, fail in jobs, fail in life, long enough, the day will come where you go, you know what, I need a better way. And that's why Jesus is there to offer us this life, this superior life, and that's what this is all about. Tell the person next to you, say, don't be mad. Just get wisdom. Amen. And that's why we're here. All right. So we're on part five. And today we've been talking about these principles. Well, first of all, we talked about the problems with recreational dating. The way the world has designed, and our culture, it's primarily our culture, goes about finding a mate, someone to spend their life with. And we talked about that 5 weeks ago, about recreational dating. And someone even said that to me at the men's meeting. I like going out on dates, but I don't want to get married. I said, what's the goal of the date? What's the goal of the date? What are you trying to get? Because I never went on a date without trying to get, we're trying to go somewhere. Where are we going with this? You get me? Where is this going? I had a girl ask me that one time. I asked her out to dinner. This is before me and Shanae. Say, pre-Shanae. And on the date, the girl goes, okay, where are we going with this? Where is this going? And I was like, whoa, hey, I'm just, yeah. Are y'all with me? Amen. So I would rather find out what, and this is why I said, let me make a couple of these statements because we're closing today. This part, then we're going to go into marriage and cover lots of things and raising children. We're going to cover a lot of things that are going to help us in life. All right. God's way of getting to the marriage altar is to seek the Lord and not necessarily seeking after a spouse. And what I mean by that, and let me say it's different for young people than it is grown people. All right, your kids going on a date should be for the purposes of seeing if this is someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with. Because of our opposite sex and opposite attraction, as a believer, it's very easy to end up somewhere you didn't plan to be when you get in one-on-one situations with the opposite sex. Is anybody honest enough to admit that? Just most of y'all ain't, though. Most are like, no, I'm good. No. Most of us, I'm not going to sit in some car with a 24-year-old girl. Are y'all with me? It's not right. Okay, y'all going to be funny today. I can see that. Y'all going to be funny today? Okay, don't make me come down there. All right, and so if you'll be perfectly honest, now I'm 58 years old, I'm grown. So I can tell y'all, even if you're young enough not to know yet, I'm gonna tell you, because I do know. All right, a lot of these things I've experienced, a lot of these things we've made mistakes on in life, and so me as a pastor, I'm here to show you what the scriptures say about it, but you get to do whatever you want to do, amen? Amen. But just know you're going to live with the consequences of what you do. So if you're not ready for marriage, right? Oh, and let me read the first statement. God's way of getting to the marriage altar is to seek the Lord and not a spouse while preparing to be a husband and a wife. Now, the Bible does say, you get what I'm saying. Even as adults, if you're 30 or 40 years old and you're just online and you're looking for a mate and you're using these websites without consulting the Lord, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. Are you with me? And so what the Bible is teaching us is seek the Lord. I don't think there's anything wrong with websites and all that kind of stuff, but you got to make sure that you're consulting the Lord. The moment our flesh will lead us in bad directions. All right? Okay, enough said about that. I've covered it over the last several weeks. But I did say this, if you aren't ready for marriage, it's not wise to be in one-on-one dating situations. So that already alleviates your 13 and your 14-year-old. That eliminates them. They shouldn't be in those kind of situations. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all made some crazy mistakes as a teenager? I'll wait for the rest of y'all liars. We all have, amen? Okay, put your hands down. That's about everybody, all of us. So enough said about that. The next statement I made was the purpose of dating should be to determine if this person is a possible marriage partner. We talked about that extensively over the last several weeks. Number two, God's way of getting to the marriage altar. We said there's four principles that are spoken about in the Bible in this regard. The first one we already covered was, and I'm reviewing before I just cover this last principle and then we're going home. Multiple witness principle. Look at Deuteronomy. Say he's reviewing. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15 in the New Living Translation. Marriage is such a major decision. You can't just leave it up to you. God is smarter than that. God set a system and this principle right here. Here, let me read the verse. It says, you must not, this is a principle in the Old Testament, but it's applicable to marriage because it's such a high risk decision. You must not convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of only one witness. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And we extracted this as a principle. We saw it all through the scriptures. We saw it in Genesis 24 in selection of a mate. That God is saying here, don't leave the selection of a mate just to you. You must involve at least two or three witnesses. And we saw four in the Bible. Four. The first one, just reviewing, was God. But there's many people who say, God told me. You gotta bear that out. Try out that spirit, right? Then parents, particularly for young people, parents have a big say. They are wiser than you think. Then the third one was pastors and counselors, trusted counselors, people who have been around for a while, people who have been successful in marriage. Can I be honest with you? Some of y'all gonna get mad at this, but there are certain people that are on TV who are even billionaires that are female that have never been married, but you'll take more advice from her than you were from people who have been married. You'll take raising children advice from somebody because she's got billions of dollars, from somebody who's never had a child. Don't take advice from somebody, only people who've never had children to tell you how to raise children. I don't care if you had pets. Pets and kids are different. And that's not mean, that's just real. Come on, somebody, if you had kids, you know that. Well, I had a dog. Okay, so and then the fourth witness was yourself. We went through that on that second session. Number two principle that we covered was the betrothal principle. Look over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Look what it says. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And then look at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, verse 38, Amplified Bible. So the Bible says that men leave their mother and father and cleave to their wife. So the Bible is saying that a boy has to become a man and then he leaves home. Look what it says about daughters, though. Daughters are different. Watch this. So also then, he, the father who gives his virgin, his daughter, in marriage does well. And he, the father who does not give her in marriage, does better. What we found out was there's a principle. You know, when I do weddings, I say, who gives this bride in marriage? Brides, daughters are given, sons leave and cleave. And daughters are given, look at this, her father, the father gives the daughter, and the father has the right of veto. He who does give her in marriage does good, but he who doesn't, do you get what the Bible's saying here? Because the daughter may say, oh, he's the bum. And the dad knows better and says, no, he's not. He's a bum. No, you're not. That's right there in the Bible. Do y'all see that? But you have to raise children in the right atmosphere to even have a respect for dad. Many dads aren't in the house, so this doesn't even occur. Are you with me? But we went over all that. But again, you see it right here in the Bible. Are y'all with me? And so we talked about that. And that there's a whole lot in child rearing that puts fathers and daughters in that kind of position where daughters will listen to their fathers. Come on, somebody. Amen? All right. So then the next principle was the dowry principle. And we see that it's all throughout the scriptures. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. And this whole principle is again, vetting the husband. The first principle says get a bunch of witnesses. Don't just be running up to the altar and you ain't told, your parents ain't told, got some of your pastors involved and got some other people to vet them out. Ask this person some questions. Find about their credit report. Find out about their finances. Can they hold a job down? Do they have a criminal history? All this stuff you need to know, people be finding out afterwards. So that's what this whole thing is about, and that's what God is doing. He's saying, this is such a high risk. Don't just make this decision on your own. Come on, somebody. Do you know when you're dating somebody, you're hearing half the truth? You don't know that real person yet? Come on. Okay, y'all going to be funny. Okay. The dowry principle is this, and what is the husband willing to sacrifice to have her? Why? Why is there so much pressure on the husband? Because of the hierarchy of marriage and the household. When Eve ate of that fruit, God didn't come to Eve and say, why'd you do that? He came to Adam and said, why did y'all do that? Because he's the head. Now, already I've offended people. Because many don't get the blessing that's in marriage because they choose to do it their own way. But God said the head of the house is Christ. Then that meant the husband is supposed to submit to Christ. And that when he submitted right to Christ and loving his wife, the wife will submit to him. And those children will honor their parents when that hierarchy is right. But when that's thrown out of whack, your kids don't care nothing about what mom and dad say because mom and dad ain't respecting God or each other right. And the whole thing gets out of kilter. And then we wonder, why is the culture all messed up? Because we didn't do it according to the instruction manual. Come on, somebody. All right, and so this whole dowry principle, we see it in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Look at it. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and did what? Gave himself for her. That is the whole dowry principle. And we saw it throughout the Bible where one man worked set 14 years to get his wife. And so there has to be this vetting. Is this husband willing to take care of her, to provide for her, to sacrifice for her? Or is he just trying to get something from her? Does he love her or does he lust her? And that's what that third principle is all about. Don't y'all think that's wisdom? Right, and the father has a part in this as well to make sure and vet that husband, all right? Okay, and then today, we're on the fourth principle. We're going to close out with this, and we got time. We're good. The last principle that the Bible teaches on is marry believers only. Marry believers only, all right? And there's loads of scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, but let's stick on a few here for time's sake, all right? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. I'm going to read in the NLT. Amen. Marriage is very difficult. It's very, very challenging. It's so amazing. I love doing weddings. It's so fun. I get to do one coming up this week, and y'all know it. If y'all have ever been to my weddings, they're very emotional. They're very beautiful. I love it, and I cry almost at every wedding. I try not to, but it just excites me. And if a young couple will learn how to bring out the best of each other, someone at the men's breakfast yesterday, you know, and a lot of times when I do marriage counseling, most people come and they're blaming their spouse. Their spouse has become the adversary, the enemy. And I shared with the men on yesterday at the breakfast that when we think our spouse is the adversary, actually Pastor Joe said it. Pastor Joe said, your wife isn't your adversary, she's really your answer. If you learn to bring the gifts, and I attest to that, that is absolutely true. I wouldn't be prospering like I'm prospering. I wouldn't have a blessing. I wouldn't be standing up here if it weren't for that woman sitting, that pretty girl right there, sitting on the front row next to my mama. Are y'all with me? And so when we get into marriage, and I'm going to start next week, the Bible talks about these mysteries. Paul talks about in the New Testament, but he said the great mystery of marriage. The great mystery. Marriage, there's secrets that are involved in marriage that bring out the best in us. And so we're going to get into that. So just stick with me. If you're married, it's going to really bless you. And if you're planning to get married, it's going to really bless you as well. Here we are. Married believers only is our last and fourth principle. Turn over to, we already did, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Are y'all there? I'm reading out the NLT. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. And this, again, it's talking about not just in marriage, but in business. You know, don't partner with someone. If you're going to start a business, it's not wise to get a partner that's an unbeliever if you're a believer. All right? Because there's a whole more. Well, they'll explain it here. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? And how can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, and as God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So y'all familiar with this passage. But he's talking about it's relevant for marriage as well, and particularly in marriage. Marriage is a covenant. Malachi chapter 2 says that marriage is a covenant. It's a covenant made in blood, and we covered that in this series. God has constructed our sexual parts to initiate a covenant in the consummation of marriage. Amen? And because it is a covenant, it really does mean the only thing that will break this is death. The only thing that will break this union is death. And so it's a very, very serious covenant. And most people never get to this point of oneness. Oneness in marriage. And so as when you're dating someone, or if you're looking for a spouse, there's some things that you need to know about the union itself that will make it a blessed union, if this is the right person for you. I remember this one time when I was single, and I was dating this girl, and I took her out and started asking her questions, the same thing like I did Sinead, started asking her questions, and right up front, this girl was gorgeous, absolutely beautiful, but right up front, one of my main questions was about her beliefs. Wow, you know, where did God set in the hierarchy of priorities of her life? And it didn't. And I knew right off, this ain't gonna work. Unfortunately, she was so beautiful, I thought, well, maybe I can convince her. But in my heart, I knew, this ain't gonna work. This ain't gonna work. I don't wanna live my life trying to convince somebody, because trouble's coming to marriage. Storms are coming in life. And you need a partnership that will be able to stand with you and God in that storm. You don't need somebody pulling you the wrong way. How many of y'all have lived long enough to see that life will throw you some stuff? And so God wants us to be prepared to not just make it through the storm, but to thrive through the storm, come out on top and win with all the challenges that come in life. Amen? So he's saying here, you see it here, it's real plain. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. Now, the Bible does make concessions in some of these things. Again, right here, Paul starts talking about, but if you do marry an unbeliever, and then he gives some instruction. Amen? Now, it's wise not to. But sometimes you've gotten married, but then one person gets saved and the other one doesn't. Or you just ignored chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians and did it anyway. So then the Bible gives us some instruction. All right? Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 12. Now I will speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. If a fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer, and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. And if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. What is he saying? Just because they're an unbeliever, don't just think that's your excuse to leave them. You get what he's saying right here? And particularly if they're willing to live with you, don't you now just say, no, I'm done with you. You can't do that, right? Marriage, the Bible says this in Hebrews, says Hebrews 13, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Marriage is for believers, unbelievers, every religion. It is a grace that is for every human being. Now, it is between a man and a woman. Can I make that plain? There is no such thing as a marriage between two men or two women. Okay, y'all gonna be funny about that too? Again, do what you want to, but there's a blessing this way, all right? Okay? Watch this. Here, and he gives reason. For the believing wife brings holiness to her marriage. Uh-huh. And the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy. He's saying, your children, when you get two children born in a Christian marriage, have a blessing on them. They're separate. God sees them as set apart. Are you with me? Amen. For the believing wife brings home, your children would not be holy. Next, please. But now they are holy. Is that okay? But if the husband or wife who isn't a believer insists on leaving, let them go. In such cases, the believing husband or wife is no longer bound to the other, for God has called you to live in peace. Don't you wives realize that your husbands might be saved because of you? Because of what you bring to the marriage, they may get saved because of you, right? And don't you husbands realize that your wives might be saved because of you, all right? So do y'all see his whole thing here? He's saying, y'all get it? So there is a concession here. It says, yes, but if you have married someone, who's not a believer, don't throw the marriage away. God has blessed it. Don't worry. If they want to live with you, you may even get them saved, all right? And vice versa. Are y'all with me? All right, so let's move on. Now, today, for the rest of my duration of my time, all I want to do is look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 33. I'm going to look at it in the New Living Translation because for all single people, this is the test that you must give someone that you want to be with. You want to see if they're a right mate for you. This is some of the questions that you can ask them from the Scripture. All right, let's take a look at it. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. This whole chapter is about conduct in family, conduct at work, that kind of thing. But here, beginning at verse 21, it starts talking about the marriage relationship, all right? And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. One of the questions single woman and question single man, if this is someone that you're dating and interested in and spending the rest of your life with, are they willing to submit to your wisdom? Come on, somebody. All right, Shanae and I'm dating her. Is she willing to listen to me? And she should be asking, is he willing to listen to me? Or do they know it all and have no inkling to listen to my wisdom or my instruction? Am I just following along in this and going to do everything they say? Do you see this? The Bible says you have to be willing to submit to each other. Look at this. Back up to that verse for me, please. out of reverence for Christ. Already I found out something. Does this person submit to Christ? And because they're willing to submit to Christ, are they willing to submit to anyone else? There are arrogant people who they know everything. Are you with me? And can't listen to anybody. Everybody knows better than, I ain't going to listen. I ain't getting no marriage counseling. I ain't getting this. I know. Knucklehead. And you got to be able to identify that quickly by saying, will they listen to you? Are you with me? And this is just a matter of maturity. The more mature you are, the more you'll realize you don't know. And if you're going to spend your life with somebody, hopefully, I told the men, can I talk real straight to y'all? I don't know, y'all ladies might not like this, but you want a woman that I mean, I like, I don't know if I should say this. Joe says don't. I'll say it in a nice way. Make sure that the woman you select, my brother, has more than just great body. Oftentimes, our focus is so much on nice figure and nice body that we miss the other B called brains. And if you ever tap into a woman's mind, she thinks different than you. In fact, women are an upgraded version of men. According to the scripture. No, watch, men. Please don't feel any shade by that. But when God created man, he made him of the what? Dust of the ground. He took an already created version of man, took from the man that he already created, and created the woman from that version. The 2019 Cadillac is better than the first one that he ever made. Because they based it on the prior models. The woman, and the Bible even says it. The Bible says that God formed man, but it says he built woman. And I know you better attest, he did a good job at building him. Come on, somebody. Don't make me break it down. So she's an upgraded version. An upgraded model. And where many men make the huge mistake is they don't see the wisdom that's inside of that woman. There is so much locked up. Who else can, watch, all right. Daggone, I'm getting into some of my marriage stuff here. But who else can take a sperm and turn it into a baby? Who else can, y'all ever seen a bachelor pad? Who else can take a bachelor pad and turn it into a home? Come on, somebody. Have you ever eaten a meal from a single guy? Same groceries, nasty. Put a woman's touch on it? Come on, somebody, make me fat right now. Women know how to take stuff and make it, and if you can ever tap into that. So the key here in this verse, though, is are they willing to listen to each other? Many people never talk. I found this out by counseling many, many, many couples over the years. Most people never learn to talk to each other. They talk at each other. And they never listen to each other and hear what each other has to say. Are you with me? And it's very childish. Okay, all right, let me not fuss. All right, go on to the next verse. So the first one, when you're dating someone, are they listening to you? Do they listen? Will they take your advice? Are they listening, all right? Submitting to one another. For wives, this means submit to your own husbands. How? As to the Lord. So when you're dating someone, is this a woman who is submitted to the Lord? If she's not submitted to the Lord, she's not going to submit to a husband. And look what it says, submit unto a husband as unto the Lord. You thought you wanted to get married until you read that. Submission is a beautiful thing when it's working right. The country can't operate without submission. No company, no country, no company, no organization can work without some submission and order to it. None can. There has to be. I remember I started a band when I was a little boy, a teenager, and my dad said, who's the leader of this band? And we all said, we all are. He said, that ain't going to work like that. Somebody's got to have a final say. Who's in charge? And we had to talk. between us. Okay, all right. We started talking amongst ourselves, and they said, you're the leader, Lee. Are y'all with me? Every organization must have a leader, and the rest of the people must know how to submit right in that organization. But a smart leader doesn't have to say he's the leader. A smart leader shows he's a leader. When he walks in the room, you know who's in charge. Not because of his arrogance, but because of his humility. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? All right, all right. For a husband is the head of his wife, and as Christ is the head of the church. Now, what does that mean? Many people panic about that, and this is very vitally important. If you're a sister and you're looking for a husband, is this someone you can submit your life to? Is it someone you're willing to submit your life to? That's a hard, huge saying. If he's not submitted to Christ, trust me, he does not know how to lead right. He does not know how to lead, because what it says, for as a husband is head of his wife, as Christ is head of the church, he is the savior of his body, the church. In other words, remember I said it early in the service, but when Eve ate of the fruit, Adam was right there, but God didn't say anything to Eve. He said something to Adam. Why have you eaten of that fruit? Well, she gave it to me. No, 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 no. Stop blaming her. I set you in charge here. What does headship mean? Responsibility. And I find more men come to my office when they're complaining about their marriage. They're complaining about their wife. She's the problem. She's the problem. And I got to let them know quickly, no, you're the problem. But, get your big butt out of the way and take some responsibility. A leader doesn't have to lead with a strong hand. A leader leads with wisdom and love. Christ didn't make you get saved. He loved you into salvation. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Let's see. And as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in some things. Boom, that's a big line right there. Y'all ladies all right? So your selection in mate has to be a wise selection. Come on, do you want to submit your life to somebody who doesn't know how to pay a bill? Who doesn't know? You got to make them get up and go to work? Are you kidding? It's time to go to work. Are you kidding? How you got to make a man go to work? What do we have to make Christ? Christ, you got to come on. You got to keep the world turning. You got to keep thinking, Lord, come on, wake up. Are y'all listening to me? You got to be responsible in the person that you connect your life to, because where they are is where you're going to end up. And many, many women somehow think they can lead a man to be a man. Stop kidding yourself. Well, I'm going to turn him around. No, you're not. Now, if he's a sissy, you might. That's an old term right there. That's an old term. That's an old school term right there. I know it ain't politically correct. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm a sissy woman running him around and all that stuff. No. If you find a man, he's going to know who Christ is. He's going to know how to submit his life. He's going to know how much he needs Christ. And he's going to realize how important you are in his life. Come on. For husbands, this means love your wives. How? Just as Christ loved the church. Right there tells you why this man has to be someone who loves God. And this is why you need God to help you find him. Come on, somebody. Just as Christ loved the church, look how he shows it. He gave up his life for her. Did y'all see that? Is this someone who's willing to give up their life? What does that mean? And why the Bible's going to stick on this for a minute. Why? Because the Bible knows how self-centered men are. Men are self-centered. Don't you dare touch that thigh. You know that thigh is mine. Y'all better mess with them wings and stuff. The thighs are mine. Come on. How did it get to chicken? Y'all know. Men can be very self-centered, and so God uses wisdom. He says, love her like you love you, and you're going to be good. You know you love you, love her like you love you, and it's going to work out. But that's where the problem comes in. We love us and not them. You got to find a man that's willing, and you can give some tests in this, and that's what we've been talking about, these kind of tests. Dads know how to help you figure this out. Dads know how to help you figure this out. Come on, somebody. To make her holy, look what this does. Back up to the last verse so I can read it with continuity. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. What brings out the best in her is when you sacrifice for her. When you realize how much Christ has given to you, it brings out the best in you. Watch this. To make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's words. Your words over your wife will help make her who she becomes to you. Remember what God told Adam? Whatever you call it, that's what it's going to be. And he began calling the animals, and God said, yeah, that's cool, that's good, that's good. Adam named Eve. God didn't. Adam called her. Whatever you call her is what she becomes. Make sure he calls you the right thing. Don't let him call you anything other than what God calls you and what your mama called you. Are y'all listening to me? These are things that single people need to know up front. Up front, you get it? He did this to present her to himself. He did what? He spoke life into her to present her to himself. What he calls her is what she becomes, so he spoke life into her so that she became that to him. You keep calling her stupid, fat, and all this other stuff, she's going to become that. You call her blessed even when it doesn't look blessed. God called you righteous with your stinky tail. And mine too. Are y'all with me? All right. He did this to present her to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. How did that happen? By what he was speaking into her. You got to, now watch y'all. You got to watch how this spouse that you're planning to hook up with, or considering if they're going to be a potential spouse, how do they talk? How do they talk? How do they talk about people? How do they talk about their family? How do they talk about their mama? How do they talk about people? They got a negative attitude about people. Guess what? One day, because love is blind, but trust me, marriage is an eye-opener. In close proximity, you see stuff you didn't see. Come on, somebody. All right? In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. There it is. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. Do y'all get this oneness? This oneness, it's, and this is what God is wanting us to come to. This oneness. When you're thinking about, come on, you wouldn't intentionally do stuff to hurt your own self. He's saying, don't do that to her either. Have y'all noticed this tit for tat in relationships where they said, the spouse says something to hurt you, so you're going to hurt them back? And it's just like your kids in the back seat, mommy, he's hit it, and they fuss, and I get people in my office, and they do the same thing, and I say, stop, before I put you in the corner. And we don't realize how immature we become when we get in a marriage situation. We're grown, but our communication skills in marriage are very undeveloped. Are y'all with me? And this is one of the keys, and that's what Jesus was talking about here in, by the Spirit, about this communication, this speaking. We've got to learn, and early on, I'm talking about in dating, you've got to learn and start developing how to talk to each other. How to talk. There's no need to be fussing and hollering and screaming and throwing stuff. Why can't we just talk and come to some conclusion? You're not going to move forward if you don't learn to do that. And I find many couples and many couples never get to that point. So in life, they're always fighting each other than fighting the problems of life. Your spouse is not your problem. The problem is the problem. But they're the problem. No, we think that the problem is the money. No, it's the communication about the money. It's not them. It's the problem with the money is the problem. Don't make the person the problem. The issue is the problem. Stop turning it on people. Are y'all with me? But they keep doing this. Well, then let's communicate that. Let's learn to talk and grow up. Are y'all with me? No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church. Whenever you see in the Bible it talking about a husband, typically it's showing a picture of Christ. It's showing a picture of Christ. And we'll get to that when I get into the marriage series. But all right. And we are members of his body. When you're married, you're one body. Shanae and I and my kids are Team Stokes. We want to get Team Stokes from point A to point Z. We want to go somewhere in life. We don't want to be stuck at the same place we were when we got married. We want our money to be better. We want our home to be better. We want our communication to be better. We want to move from point A to point Z over life. It's a journey. But it doesn't happen all at one time, and you're going to make mistakes. But you got to start this early on. Can we talk? Can we communicate early on? Are y'all with me? As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother. Here it is again. A boy leaves his father and mother? No, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one, or made one flesh. Look at this. This is a great mystery. Underline that. I'm going to talk about this when we get to marriage. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. What he's saying right here is there is a mystery in marriage. He talks about other mysteries, but in some translations it says this is the great mystery. The great mystery of marriage, when we get into this next series, I'm going to talk about it. Because what he's talking about is this relationship that you have with Christ is what brings out everything in you, all the gifts. God doesn't just want to be this rule book of regulations that you live by. He wants to be in a relationship like a marriage with you. If you're married, how many hours of the day are you married? 24. How many days of the week are you married if you're married? All 7 of them. If you're, and all the days of the month and every day of your life. He's trying to say this is how the relationship with Jesus works. And if the relationship with Jesus, this vertical relationship isn't right, this marriage isn't going to work right. The Bible doesn't say husbands love your wives. It says husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. The Bible doesn't say wives submit to your husbands. It says wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord in everything. What is this saying? There must be a revelation of this relationship with Christ if marriage is going to work right and bring out the greatness that's in it. Close your Bible. Why can't I marry somebody that's not saved? Why wouldn't I even hook? There's no way they're going to get me to that level in life. There's no way they're going to get me to the great things that life has. There's no way. It's going to take Christ, me, and them. It's going to take all three of us. Now, you may be able to live, but not on the level that God has for you to live. God has a level of life and for your career, for your children, for your marriage that you can't attain by your own skills. Come on, think about it just for a second. The pinnacle of entertainers. Was there any better than Michael Jackson? And I don't know what happened in his last hours. Maybe he accepted Christ. But he shouldn't have been dead at 50. Prince. Does it get any better? Yet dead. You get what I'm saying? When you put Christ in the center, I'd rather be alive at 58 with a woman I love and children I love and a home and enjoying life than dead at 50. On an overdose of drugs. And I don't care how much fame you have. Come on, somebody. Wouldn't you? So there's more to life than just fame and money and stuff. God wants us to tap into him and unlock the greatness that's in both of us, and he can bring us to levels of living and levels of enjoying life and each other that will blow us all away. Anybody receive that today? Amen. If you're here today with no further ado, If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm telling you, God has a superior life for you, a life that's superior in quality and quantity. And it really is a matter of a relationship, a genuine marriage to Him, a genuine oneness with Him, a oneness with Him that's going to change every aspect of your life. It's a great mystery. God can bring out great things that's in you that you've never seen before. Blows us away. It blows us away, our life now. It blows us away that we're doing this. We didn't see this. We didn't plan this. Are y'all with me? It was us praying and in desperation, God, help us. Help us. We can goof up some stuff, especially this one. Come on, somebody. Not this one so much, but. But God, we're humble today. We're humble today at what God has done in our lives. I'm humbled by what He wants to do in your life. I know He has much more in store for you. If you're there with your spouse or if you're there with your mate that you're planning to, grab their hand right now. Yes, please do, baby.
You know, I just wanted to share that we as women are the upgrade, right? And as the upgrade, we can control this world and change this world. Because we control it all. If we just said no and made them marry us, they wouldn't have an option to date you 3 dates and then they're done and moving on to the next one. We control that. And so when I hear a man say, I'm not the marrying kind, I'm 3 dates and I'm good, what's that telling you? He's getting it in 3 dates and moving on to the next one, 3 dates, and then he's got going to the next one. We control that. Good. Know our authority. Take control of our power. Good. And how valuable we are.
Yes.
And how precious we are. And how precious our jewel is.
Come on.
And they have to marry it before they get it. It would eliminate abortions. It would eliminate single parenting. It would eliminate so many problems that we have today in our society and our world.
Good, baby.
If we as the upgrade took control.
Come on.
We are the upgrade, so we can control it. But we don't.
Come on, somebody.
We give them our authority. Why do we do that?
Come on. Amen.
As a woman, as the upgrade, get Jesus in your life so He can help you be the authority and be in control. And don't settle for less.
Come on.
So that you know how valuable you are, how fearfully and wonderfully made you are, and that is through your relationship.
Hallelujah.
With Christ. Get a relationship. Let's change this world today.
Come on.
We have the power and the control to do so. That's all I wanted to share.
Amen. Amen. Good word, baby. I wish y'all would hang out with us sometime. Like on Wednesday, Shanae could just pour out, because if you just heard our story, I broke up with her when we were dating because I wanted to date some other girl. She goes, that's fine. Just don't ever call me again. Lose my number. Be done. I was like, hold on. No. You're fine. She said, but you're not going to date me and somebody else. If you want me, you're going to make a commitment here or move on.
They want to keep you in the friend zone and have many friends.
Okay, y'all on the mic back there, we might have to turn it off soon. She might be telling too much here. Y'all hang out with us, because we can tell you some stuff and some stories that really have blessed our life. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that Janae didn't put up with no foolishness, because here we are today.
Yes.
Being able to lead people. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
If you're here today, with no further ado, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm telling you, God has a life for you that's superior in quality and quantity. God's not mad at you. He really is madly in love with you. And maybe you find yourself today with your life in shambles. Maybe it's torn apart. Maybe, like us, you've made some poor choices in life and made some bad decisions. I'm telling you, Jesus is the beginning to you getting things on track. Having a real relationship with him. Not just saying a prayer, but a real relationship. And if you're here today, I'm going to make four appeals. In fact, everybody stand up on your feet. We're getting ready to go. Will y'all make some noise for that great word we heard today?
Yes.
Isn't that good news?
Awesome.
Isn't that good news?
Awesome word.
Four calls. I'm going to make four calls. If one of these calls speaks to you, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Move out of your seat. I'm going to make four appeals. The first is this: for salvation. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, the reality is you're on your way to hell. You don't have to be. Jesus paid the price for all your sin. And the key is just receiving him. Receive him. That's the only sin that people go to hell for, not receiving the sacrifice that was made for their sins. His name is Jesus. That's what people go to hell for. Not for adulterating, fornicating, lying, murder, none of that. One sin. Jesus paid for the sins of the world. And all we do is receive him as that sacrifice, atonement for our sin. First call, if you're here today while the saints of God are praying, don't you dare go to hell when Jesus already paid the price for your sins. His name is Jesus. Call number one. Number two, if you're here today and you've made Jesus your Lord, but you know it, you've walked away from him. Something happened in life, I don't know what, and it's really irrelevant why or what happened, but the truth of the matter is you need relationship with him. You know it. You need to get back on track so your career gets blessed, so your relationships get blessed, so God can have a say in everything that you do. That's what he wants. He wants this marriage relationship with you, walking with you in your career, that in your future, with your children, every aspect of your life. He's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. He wants that. And perhaps if you've gotten away from God, you know it. He hasn't left you, but you've walked away from him. Today is your day to get back. You know if I'm talking to you, that's resonating with your heart today. And God is calling you right now to get back. Call number three. If you're here today and you need prayer, maybe there's something devastating going on with your career, with your finances, with your health, with your relationship, with your kids. You need help. You need God to, you need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. We're here to pray for you. God is your answer. He is. He can turn around every situation for your good. I promise you that today. Don't leave here today without getting the prayer of agreement that you need. Call number four, fourth and final call. If you're here today and you've never made Destiny your home church, I'm telling you, you're in a place where you learn to live the God kind of life and have a blessed life. Don't go to hell for anybody. Don't go through marriage struggling. Don't go through life struggling. God has given you a way to win, and it's in the book, and you need a church and a pastor. And if you enjoy what's happened here today, we want to be those people to you. We want to be your pastors. We do. We want to walk through you, help you walk through life and the storms of life and win. Those are the four calls: salvation, rededication, prayer, and to be a part of destiny. I'm going to count. When I get to three, if any of those calls are for you, gather your belongings, your book, your Bible, your stuff, your family. And when I get to three, move out of that seat. Don't hesitate. Run down here. I'm going to pray with you. We've got some counselors that can give you whatever it is that you need. We want to help you today. Don't leave without it. Here I go. I'm counting. Saints are praying. One. Here we go. Two. Three. Come on, move out of that seat. Don't wait till they come. Don't wait. Don't look around. This is for you. Run now. Don't wait. Here they come. Here they come.
Relationship is what we need.
Yeah, come on, come on. Put your hands together like this.
You want to get that relationship with Christ.
Y'all looking around for somebody. It's you. Come on. Hallelujah. Make some noise. Make some noise for them, y'all. Yeah, come on. Y'all make some more noise. Make some more noise. Y'all ain't helping me today. Do like this, y'all. Do like this.
Another minute.
Hallelujah.
Not an hour.
Will you check with your neighbor that's standing right there with you? Say, hey, if you need anything from God, don't wait. Don't you dare miss out on what God has for you. Come quickly. I'm giving you another chance. Here we go. Come now. Move quickly. Wait. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. Y'all saints praying? Amen.
If I never needed you.
Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. I'm not going to keep y'all. Amen. Will y'all make some noise for these down here today?
Yes.
Y'all ain't making enough noise yet. You got to encourage people like that.
Yes.
Hold up, hold up. Heaven rejoices when people make a decision for Jesus. We ought to act the same. Come on, y'all, encourage people like this. Make them hurt like this. There you go. There you go. And I want to teach y'all to do that. Celebrate for people. How many of y'all think when you got saved, it was the greatest decision you ever made in your life?
Woo!
Heaven rejoices, so we should rejoice for people.
Well.
I'm
going
to give you one more chance to practice. Here we go. Right now. Go. Make some noise. That's how you do.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's say this prayer loud enough down here that you hear this prayer out of your own mouth with your own ears. Are y'all ready? Say this. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus died.
I believe that Jesus died.
And rose again from the dead.
And rose again from the dead.
Just for me.
Just for me.
You're my Lord.
My
Savior.
My Savior.
My protector.
My protector.
My provider.
My provider.
My everything.
My everything.
Right now.
Right now.
I'm forever saved.
I'm forever saved.
Give God the biggest shout of praise you've given him all day today.
Hallelujah.
You said that simple prayer. You're born again, forever forgiven. My prayer partner, my partner, my minister is right here with you. Turn to my left, your right. They're going to escort you over to a room where they can pray with you and get you everything you need. Will y'all make some noise for these?
Yes.
Amen. Y'all ain't making enough noise yet. Come on, y'all. Amen. Listen, Shanae and I love you. Again, thank you for all the birthday love, all the cards, all the gifts, all the texts, all the calls, all the inboxes, all the messages. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I'm so honored and humbled to be your pastor. Get locked in the Word. We're here on Wednesdays. We're teaching about the gift, how to reign in life. How many of y'all want to reign in life? The Bible tells you how to do it. I'm teaching it on Wednesdays afternoon at 12 and Wednesday at 7 p.m. We love you. I can't wait to see you then. God bless you. Peace.